fight. So we're starting here. He's talking about Taimi Mitzvahs and the reason for Taimim and so on. V'Rambam Zal, Kosev Sefer Mor Nevuchim. So the place where we have Chazal and others talking about Taimi Mitzvahs is actually the Medrashim on this Inyan over here of Shluach HaKan. V'Rambam Zal, Kosev Sefer Mor Nevuchim. Kitam Shluach HaKan. כי הביצים ששכבס אימם עליהם ופרויך מצליחים לאימם על הרוב יסיבה לניח הכל כי מה שלוקח ברוב הפעם אין הרוי לאכילה. So basically the Torah said that what you're gaining out of it is not worth what's being lost. Usually people tend to throw everything away and therefore you're basically fapashking a lot and not gaining much out of it. If the Torah cares so much about the tsar of a bal chai, kol shkem ne adam, v'loy sik shal omra moim al ken tzipa yigir achmech b'chulu, ki hu le'echad v'beis desh zacharnu. The Mishnah that says al ken tzipa yigir achmech is not a good. He said that goes like the mandama that we don't hold, that hold that there's no tamei mitzvahs. Ratzolei medatz mishachoshes shein tam l'teira rotzam bar yisparach. V'anachnu nimshachu achadei abeis ad kam. So he says, that's the Rambam. So the Rambam says basically it's a machloikis, and we don't pass like that, which is, it's a Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah we don't know anybody that's chalek on it, and we certainly would pass like it. I mean, how can we say on the first Mishnah that no one argues on it, that it's Das Yichdo? It's one thing you find a Medrash and a Mandi'ama that says it, and you say, okay, this Mandi'ama is Das Yichdo, maybe. And especially if you have other Medrashim that sound fakert, you say that. But over here, you have a Mishnah that's in two places, and nobody argues with it. We got Mishnuyah B'Lashon Esos Megillah. You have exactly Mishnah Megillah B'Loyim Alakoshen Alacha Mikol Shekein Dovah Shemagil Emuna. And certainly an Ikre Emuna to just take a Mishnah Pasakit, it's not Mistaba. By the way, sort of parenthetically, I saw a beautiful Vart. I don't remember from who I saw it. Somebody recent, you know, somebody in the last 100 years or so. He says, I know where I saw it. I don't remember if he says it on his own. I saw it by one of Rav Bar Shaul's Svarim. He says, a mother watching over her young is an extraordinary noble deed of Mesiras Nefesh that Kadosh Baruch Hu planted into the Bria. The selflessness of a female watching over her children is something that is one of the noblest teva that a Kadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria. A person, when he goes and he takes the mother that's on the eggs, he's taking advantage of it. In other words, the mother would normally, a bird will fly away very quickly from you. But you're taking advantage of the fact that she's standing on the eggs, and therefore, he's not moving. He says, it's sacrosanct to take a mother in the act of guarding her young. Very, very beautiful point. It's parenthetic to this. So the Rambam says that in a Chanami, that man Yom is going Shalom the Hilchasa, and he has a problem with it. HaRamban Zal B'Parashas Seitzei Herach Mordin Yazeh V'Oma Kitam Shaluach HaKan Shalom is Asik Moshe Hersham. And the reason for Shaluach HaKan, he says, is that we should not be Achzori. V'Zeh Odaito B'Mitzvah Shetziv HaShem Esbaruch La'am and V'Chein Pirish Tam Oysas B'Noi Shalom Sachsa, same thing where it says B'Noi. So even though he doesn't want to be masig on the Ramban, according to one that says that it's there shouldn't be kinna, it means that it's appropriate that for some minim HaKadosh Baruch Hu says not to be misach, for some minim not. What's the reason? He says, at the end of the day, if the reason is for Achzarius, what do you do with Malyama that says you shouldn't make Kinemai Sebracious? That sounds that there is a distinction between this type and that type. Bechein, but he says, Benoi. And also, as we know, that you can't check the mother and child on the same day because of Achzarius. You can cash it. The law muscle on the Bishor Beser, we don't be Chayelish because Benoi. I mean, it's only certain types. If you're telling me it's El Smir of Rachmanis, all animals have the same, fairly the same level of feeling. Behine ain't time or oil of a coil. So his reason doesn't cover all cases. So if the difference is in 3 minutes between the end of before the Zman, after Zman, it's Mutter. So to shecht an animal at 6 in the morning and at 6 in the evening, that you can't do. But at 6 in the evening, 6 or 5 at night, you can do. So what's the difference? If she's flying on the can and not... you can shech together. Why? To try and apply our natural, normal, instinctive sense of good doesn't work. The Ramban's reason really does not cover the mitzvah in any meaningful way. You have lots of gaps, and it doesn't make sense. So the Ramban says, if he says it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not merachim on the animal itself, because the Ramban says it also could need it at all, and it just means that it's teaching us rachmanis. But that's not what the Gemara says. Mashama sha'oyis semis Hashem zorach rachm lein al gzeres. V'hava leila meima sha'os Hashem l'rachim ala behima b'mokim sheinim l'rachim. Omnom. Mashama zal sha'oyis semis Hashem zorach rachm lein al gzeres l'kashka af di pirusha. V'gam ramam zal sheik shem dal v'zeh. V'nitak loima kamishtein ha'alocha k'ma shetir midvar av shadocha mishna rucha. Av loi kasha. He says, the etzem line of Ein Zeh Hashem Rachman L'Gzeiros, that works according to everybody, because that sentence simply means that they're not coming to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos, but rather ours. Kloy ma shetzivah shalom chaleinah mitzvah loy she Hashem Yisbarach merachim al ken tzipor v'tzivah shal kash yishalayach se'ein v'chein afilu ba'odam kash yitzivah shalom chaleinah mitzvah loy she Hashem Yisbarach So the first point he's trying to make is that the simple meaning of it's not rachman but gzeiros means as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said don't shecht an animal as oizes benoi, it's not coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own emotional, let's say the word needs, but emotional precious. It's not an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmim. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pity on the animals, he would tell us not to shecht it. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes on us hanhagas mesuyamos. So if we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I know that you've got soft spots because you told us not to take a kentzipur, and you should have a soft spot for us when we're going to do X, Y, or Z. That itself is a fallacious statement, because it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Rachman, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Geizah Nas Rachman. So that's how that answers on a simple level just the words of the Gemara. So we could have said that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it so that we become Rachmanim rather than an expression of some need of his. He says, I don't have a problem with the Mishnah itself, had interpreted according to Ramban or the Rambam. I rather have a problem with the Etzem Pshat that he says. Raki Pirusha in Oilek, which is by Lamaila. The Kachma Shapirusha Abzal Shetal Mitzvah Kvobon Atoitra is Achsa, Cholamitzvah Him Lekvobon Midas Tevas and Yimitzvah Skanka in Oilek. So, yes, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gezer on us, but he doesn't think that the reason for it is like Ramban says, in order to instill in us a Midah of Tov, because that would not really cover it. So we have just a skeleton of a pshat. The skeleton of the pshat is that it's not an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personal feelings, but it's there for us. But the reason that it's there for us, we don't have. And this is where he's going to say a pshat. Avol midivra chacham nira So he says as follows. Our tfisa, the Gemara is trying to explain to us the tfisa that we have in the mitzvahs. Let's take an example, and let's so it'll be a little easier to understand. Imagine a person tells you it is your duty and obligation to defend your country, help people that are in less fortunate circumstance than you, save the victim from the perpetrator, etc., etc. That is one description. Another person will say the reason one ought to serve one country and others not is because you get a lot of benefits. GI Bill's got a lot of benefits. Helping people means that your insurance goes down and, I don't know, whatever you want, and so on and so forth. Now, even though those statements are true statements in the sense that there are many benefits in doing the good and the right, but we understand that at the core, we understand it as obligatory. Duty, responsibility, words like that tell us that more than anything else, you have to do it. A little bit hard for us to understand how morality imposes itself on us, but I think everyone intuits that when you sing the benefits of being nice and good and fulfilling duty and obligation, you mean to sweeten the deal, but you don't mean to say that is the deal. And if a person goes down and says, I defend my country because I gain a lot from it, he's taking away from it. So at the heart, we have a very clear sense that there is a certain dimension of obligation and duty as regards moral virtues. We are also right to say that somehow the good and the right carry in its wake many benefits to us. So if a person were to look at mitzvahs, the reason for the mitzvahs is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's advice to us. They're not social workers' advice in how I could sweep them better in my life. They are obligations and duties, and we have a sense of that. You know, people will say it's my duty to go in. A policeman runs into the fire. He knows that he'll probably be killed. And there's not good is going to come out to him, and he doesn't run in because imagine if you don't run in and somebody else will attack at some point, that's going to save you. Well, my choice is to die now or to die in some hypothetical case. It's one of the terrible fallacies when people come along with all sorts of constructs about how evolution it mandates that the goodness in us, the altruism in us, is a result of evolution. That's great. So I don't have to follow evolution blindly. So now I realize the good that evolution is trying to do is so that six generations down, it'll be better for my offspring. Well, the heck with my six generation offspring. I'd rather enjoy myself and not care about six generation offspring. Doesn't work. We need to see it as gzeiros. So these things are gzeiros. Mikomakom, ein ascholas hagzeiros shenita l'tevel mekabel. That's not the root of it. Gashbrochu didn't tell us the mitzvahs in order to do good. She'ein zekach. Raku yisparach tziva leinu kemelech ha-gozer. Rak sh'agzera zos hi letov lonu chayseinu keim hazeh im nekayim ha-mitzvahs. V'loy she'tchilas ha-gzera hu lotov lonu. Now, I want to point out Rabbeinu Bechaya that seems to argue, but I don't think it's an argument, and I think it's important to understand what Rabbeinu Chai is trying to say, because it really is mashlim the picture to us. The Rabbeinu Chai says, "Oras shelo yokum is divrei Torah zois." What does that mean? The Rishonim all ask, like, what goes into "Oras shelo yokum is divrei Torah zois"? And the Rishonim say it means. So the Rabbeinu Chai says it means if a person keeps the Torah and the mitzvahs, but he doesn't feel that Torah and mitzvahs are inherently good for a person. The word kiyum would be like somebody's mekayim ashtar. He validates something that exists already. So I come along and I say, well, you've got no choice, you've got to keep mitzvahs, but mitzvahs are not good for anything. They're meaningless activities. But halacha mandates it. It's kind of very close to many. There are people today, especially modern Orthodox, saying, "Well, the halachic process mandates it, but it obviously makes no sense, and it's useless, and so on." If a person has that, he's over or a shekhi zera terazos. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. It would seem to go against the grain of what he's saying, and yet both of them seem to be very amiss, and I think they don't go against the grain of each other. But let's understand how that works. It's a three-step process. The first step, I have me. I have authority. Authority and duty, obligation, etc. And then I have what motivated the duty, obligation, so on. My parents told me X. My Rebbe told me Y. My commanding officer said A. The laws, society's laws mandate the B. Now, all of these items, my relationship to those items per se needs to be because I'm obligated. As a law-abiding citizen, which a person has a healthy sense of law. Dinim is one of the Zayin Mitzvei Noach. In this week's parasha, Rambam says that they Shechem or Chayiv Nisim because they didn't have dinim. It was anarchy. Law obligates because it obligates. Society enacts laws, and people are obligated to follow the laws that society enacted, so long as they're within reason just. Now, if the person who's at the head of it is a madman, and the laws he enacts are crazy. On every other Monday, people need to wear pink hats. So that's not the pshat then I'm saying that the person that legislated those laws is a nutcase, and those laws come from no place. So I'm trying to, and probably if that was true, I probably have no obligation. If let's say a person's parent is, God forbid, demented, so I don't say, well, my parents said that's authority. That's not authority anymore. But if the regime is an evil regime, it's a Nazi regime, then their laws don't obligate me, and adrab, I shouldn't listen. Let's say society is a just society, and so they enact laws that are meant to be for the good of society. But it happens to be not for my good, paying taxes. Just not quite in my, it's not for my good. But that doesn't, but my sense for that is not, my sense is obligation. And yes, those obligations carry good results to it. So we need to distinguish between the Shoresh. What Rabbi Chaim means, Arshak Nesores means, I need to say, I can't believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu at random picked out just whims. Basically, I'm saying God's crazy. And so if somebody doesn't affirm that these, that since these are Chukei Hashem and Mitzvos Hashem, then they carry themselves a validity, then there's no, then that's bad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu haven't given us Chuk Mishpatim. My response to them is not because of the benefit I get from it, it's because of obligation and duty. And that's the famous, the Gemara says, Lama Toikin, you know, Rachmana Tziva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. My sense of reacting to those mitzvahs comes out of sense of obligation rather than out of sense that it pays to. If you offer me a business deal, then I do it because it pays to do it. If you're my boss in the work structure, I do it because so long as I'm your employee, I'm obligated to fulfill X amount of functions. So I think the two items are not sides to each other. So we can't go around saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, you gave us Rachmanis, you gave us Gzeiras, the Shorash Mitzvah is Gzeira. We fulfill it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted those mitzvahs for good reasons, and we need to be makatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But our response to the mitzvahs is not because we like it or don't like it, but because it's obligatory. The schus is not I'm doing it because I'm going to get a lot of good out of it. Fulfilling many duties is good. I want to add another facet that is become that's become very, very it really was the root of a big controversy. Doing things that are obligatory, obeying military commands as they are, is not easy for a person to do. Yes, if you've been trained in the system and you're a soldier, but it takes a certain mentality to remain a soldier forever. So people don't, A, it's not easy to do that way. B, it's hard to invest any real emotional input into acts that I'm doing because it says so. A company has a compliance officer, so one reason is not to have to pay out trillions of dollars in lawsuits. That's fine. A second reason is, even let's say they are just law-abiding people, because they want to remain in the parameters of the law. He doesn't give inspirational pep talks about how wonderful it will be if we stay in the law. It's more like you don't want to run afoul of the government, and that's it. But there's no inspiration in keeping rules and relations that are mindless and so on. So, in Yiddishkeit, Hasidus came along and said, you know, people are keeping mitzvahs with the mentality of a soldier carrying out his obligations and duties. It doesn't lead to terribly inspirational avenira. Where's the avenira? Just meaningless acts to me, and I'm doing it because I have to do it, and I'm obliged to do so. But it's very, very hard to inspire it, and therefore it's also very hard to hold on to it. So they began inspiring people. One of the ways that they inspired people, and this has become more and more predominant today, is by helping you get a sense of what you're accomplishing with a mitzvah. So the more extraneous movements, let's say something like in Germany, Rav Shmuel Hirsch, he explains mitzvahs in light of universal good. And, you know, in universal principles that speak to a German of the 19th century, and so on and so forth. It's nice, it's good, but there's going to be a gap because it's not the real language of the Torah, it's just a language that helped German Jews at that time, just the way, like, I don't know, Isha Torah stuff would talk to somebody today about it helps you make life happier, relate to people, whatever it is, and so on and so forth. So that's sort of a little bit lame because you're using a rather crude tool that doesn't exactly fit. So one of the things that had crept in via Hasidus a bit and other places was to take the Kabbalah, the Kinyanim, and to explain them that, you know, when you're putting on tefillin, you're doing this tikkun and that tikkun and the other tikkun and 100,000 tikkunim that are being accomplished by it. And if you'd realize the impact of that tikkun, you would be jumping with joy. That was the train of thought of the people that introduced it. The flip side of it was, so that sounds wonderful. So now we have a Jew not only putting on tefillin, but by understanding all the tremendous tikkunim of the tefillin, which pchinis and everything else that's happening, this man is going to do it, jumping for joy. And it's going to be wonderful. Yes. The downside to it is that, let's say, he has to do the mitzvah in a way that doesn't create the tikkun, or some other thing is creating tikkunim. You begin to fudge. So let's say he learns what kind of tikkun tefillah is when you go to the mikveh. And now he's got a choice between davening going to mikveh or keeping this man tefillah. He's got a choice, one or the other. He's either going to daven without going to mikveh or he's going to daven. So the person is going to be so into his tikkunim that he's going to go to the mikveh and not the daven zman. And this is exactly what's one of the early tensions. This is what Nefesh HaChaim is written about. Nefesh HaChaim, his first shar, is to emphasize the point that no matter what tikkunim you make upstairs, those are secondary ideas. The first thing is because it says on Shulchan Aruch, you can add tikkunim to give it a flavor and to enhance the avoda, but it should never, ever, ever replace the mitzvah itself, the chiyuvim. And that was the danger of it, that the reason behind it would start becoming the mitzvah. And it's also one of the reasons why, today when you have a bone telling you all sorts of things, do this tick or that tick, you do this thing, that, the other thing, it's so far afield from the etzem mitzvah. What's happening exactly? Like the person is doing something that's really, really meaningless in a certain sense. It doesn't relate to anything that we know of. So understanding the reasoning of mitzvahs, and even at the level of Kabbalah, if it replaces the concept of it being a gzeira, so just like a soldier, you know, the first thing is you teach a soldier to obey the command. Even if the command makes no sense, you just obey it the way it is. As a person grows in rank, you want to help him make him part of the process and understand what they're trying to do and the strategy behind it, because he also has to start giving commands. But on the other hand, you never want to eradicate from him that the listening and obeying an order is first and foremost significant. But Dovah is a Muslim more common because the Ikashash got more love, and that's Mitzator Lavlenis Nita, Elbashul Gzeros Nita. So the Lashon of Rashi is it's an ol. Lola Henois, Ella Ola Tzver Nitnu. Because they were given as obligation. Olafika Chamru, Hamuda Hanom and Ashefa Mutalat Koyaboy. Hamuda Nomi Haver Mutalat Koyaloy. Hamuda Nomi Amayin Tevel is Mitzvah Kain Rapsi Gemara. So all of these in Yanim are. You don't. The mitzvah as a mitzvah is not a benefit; it's an obligation. So if let's say, for instance, if Tchiyas Shofar was to be understood primarily as something that's good for you, it gives you the good, and that's why we're doing it. So that would be called mitzvahs la'anis nitnu. We're getting some gain, ruchnias, gashos, whatever it is. That's why the Gemara says no. It's a Gzeira and so on. Vatam bekulam neshem mitzvahs atar lo nitnu lo nitzarak lo ola l'adam. They come into the area of obligation. Let's add a knach to this. A person has two feeds that begin two roots that feed into action. A person has his head, and a person has his heart. So I can do things because my heart pushes me to do it. I do things because my head directs me to do it. There's a third input. And if I use a mushal, it's like, you know, on a computer or on a audio machine, you have the internal mic, let's say, and then you have an input plug of some sort where you can feed in from some outside source. You know, it becomes a loudspeaker, an audio device for some outside feed. Yeah, some sort of input device. A person has the heart, a person has a head. Between the two, he has a pair of shoulders. And the shoulders are a place where an oil is placed on a person. An oil means that the input becomes someone else's seichel, or heart, or whatever it is. So it doesn't mean that the act is meaningless, but it means that I'm not the one who determined the meaning for it. I've become a vehicle for someone else. So we say that that mitzvahs are an oil al tzavaroi, an oil on Adam. What it means is the person becomes a vehicle for Kadosh Baruch Hu's tzivu. Val toima ki pirush lav lehenes ba'olam hazer ak tol olam hava. It doesn't mean lav lehenes means it's not a physical hanov, but it's a ruchtis kan don olam hava. Dim hoya tchilas nesines ha-mitzvah li Yisrael lehetan olam hava, it came and says lehenes nitnu. If the mitzvah was, Rabbi Yisai, olam hava is a tremendous hanov, let me give you some activities that you can buy in some timeshares in Olam Haba. So then the mitzvah is lahanis nitnu. It was given as a way to attain the pleasant. In other words, if I'm convincing you, I'm not forcing you, but I'm convincing and saying, you know, it's great, you don't know how geshmak it is to do X, Y, Z. So then that's called lahanis nitnu. Whether it's a physical anor or ruchs, that doesn't make a difference. But when I'm telling you, listen, I'm your boss, I'm your commanding officer, I'm your parent, I'm authority, do it. So, yes, I know that it's good, and I know that it's that. But your relationship to it, your maisa is prompted first and foremost by obligation. He's saying a thoughtful chiddush that if a person, if let's say that a Torah would be, let me tell you, Olam Haba is the greatest thing that ever was. Let me give you 613 ways to get a piece of Olam Haba. So then it is lahanis nitnu. That's what the mitzvah is. I'm telling you a device on how to attain the good and the beneficial. But that's not Torah. Then Kilo Adin Azakar, she mutilat curl at Kirsha Mitzvah. Voya Moida Nomi Mel. Aval bevadai hamitzvah aleinu kimelach hagoizel amayk v'shvanu l'kachom v'shemutuch aleinu. But since the mitzvahs are done in a way of a gzeira, then it's something which it's lav lehanis nitnu. It was fulfilling a mitzvah means we fulfilled obligation, and any good that can come out of it is agav grora. It just sort of followed along. One of the advantages of reasons. So it sounds according to us like a step down. We're only simply vassals of Akash Baruch Hu doing what it bids. So wouldn't it be better if we Akash Baruch Hu would tell us, listen, I got some wonderful ruchnistic things for you, why don't you do it? So the answer is that coupling that happens where we become the loudspeaker, the audio for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really gives us a keshet HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you couldn't have had if you went on your own. The word mitzvah, the word tzeves in Lashon Kodesh means a coupling. A tzevet in modern Hebrew, tzevet is a staff. It's people that are bound together. A mitzvah is something that ties together. I once heard there was a very, very chashva yid in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chaim Brim. Rav Chaim Brim, Zechon Livracha. He was a fascinating personality, multifaceted. He was a chassidish Yerushalayim yid, a regina chassid, who was close to the Briskov and Chazanish, learned by them, learned the liturgy of yeshivas, and had the best of both worlds, or many aspects of it. Oh.
Sorry,
who are you?
What's your voice?
Oh, hi. And what are you?
That?
What?
Is that my brother's, my brother-in-law and sister, the Peppers?
Yeah.
And they just told me, maybe come by and say hi.
Hi, so I'm sorry, a little bit shy. Okay, say that very nice. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah. So he said I brought my son, one of my children, for a bar mitzvah. He was both. He used to say chaburis in the mirror, like for the mirrors they used to come to his house, say chaburis in learning, to say in machshava, and the fascinating person. I live right next to Shtibla, very, very special person. Passed away probably, I don't know, a dozen years ago or so. So he said, and so he told, I took my son there for a bar mitzvah to get a bracha, and he told him that Rav Volba says that a mitzvah, that when you do a mitzvah the way it should be, the mitzvah become one through the mitzvah. In other words, because I've connected, I become a vehicle for expressing a Kaddish Baruch Hu rather than myself, I've attained something a lot bigger than myself. And then he told my son, I saw that type of Kiyama mitzvah twice in my life. He said the Siyatna Rebbe, the Siyatna was one of the original Rebbes. The original was six Rebbes. Siyatna was a very chash, a regal personality in Tel Aviv. He said the Siyatna Rebbe, when he did Hoshainis with Kavonis, I saw that. And Chazanish is an ordinary mincha, I also saw it. It was very, very fascinating. The two worlds and the way he juxtaposed them were really amazing. But the point is, when you're an ol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you're a hemshech of that, and you are and you become really bigger than yourself. So okay, so al kapanim. So to sum up, the what he's saying here is that he disagrees, and he says a nupshat in the concept of mitzvahs legzera. He says the place that mitzvahs come into our life is through gzera. Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has good reasons for it, and certainly we gain from it. It's all wonderful. If we're to ask ourselves, why do we do it? What is the prompter of it? The answer is gzera and so on. Okay.
Last question?
Sure.
My understanding is that the Ramchal at the beginning of Derech Hashem says that ultimately the world was created for our benefit.
Right.
So how exactly does it reconcile? It seems like what you said at the end there would reconcile it, that ultimately that coupling is
correct.
The ultimate
correct.
Good.
Correct. In other words, that surah brings out the most. since becoming a vehicle for Kvod Shemayim and Dvar Hashem is the best that we can attain, then that becomes a vehicle, correct?
Beautiful. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and I hope everything goes well in Mitzvah Hashem.